In a world filled with disasters, disease, poverty, war, and more, children often suffer the most. Millions are orphaned or abandoned, left to fend for themselves or suffer even more. But what if you had the opportunity to make a difference in the life of one of these little ones, not only to rescue, but to restore, bringing hope and healing? Learn more about the difference you can make today, right here on Revival for Mission. One thing we can be certain about is that disaster will strike many of us in different ways. And in different parts of the world, there are children that have no rescue coming for them if someone doesn't step up. Today, we're going to talk about children, Pastor Wilson, especially the value that children have in the eyes of God, even if society doesn't have a place for them. Maybe they're orphaned. Maybe they've been rejected. There are many stories of people that have this plight as part of their lives, and many of them don't have someone to help. Why is it important that we help children who don't have a support system?
Well, first of all, Pastor Sam, the reason it's so important is because every person on this planet is a child of God and has a huge potential. God wants to save every single person, and He wants to open doors of opportunity for people. He has a plan for their lives. You know, that marvelous text in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." God has a plan for every one of us. And a young life, even though you may not know a person, if you help in some way to sponsor someone, to encourage them, to help them, you are building a life, not just for this life, but for eternity. And what an opportunity it is for us to make contact, especially with orphans. We can't do it personally necessarily, but people can help others. And one of these days, we'll see them in heaven.
You're watching Revival for Mission. Today we will talk to two amazing people from International Children's Care who will tell us about their ministry. We'll start with Rick. Rick, how did International Children's Care start?
You know, the ICC story, it's a God thing and really takes a while to tell. But in short, it's a story of family, home, God's love mixed with some human cooperation. A devastating earthquake in Guatemala inspired the church leaders and lay people, many lay people, to work together to start ICC. And it's been an exciting walk of trust in the goodness of God through the years. You know, when I was growing up, my dad was a minister in the Adventist Church. He was a missionary in Central America, church leader there. And many times we had children in our home that were not part of our family, but we allowed them to be part of our family. I think that was how God was preparing my parents to lead out in this organization after my dad retired, but they led out for many years.
And we thank God for their loving, personable approach to helping people. And now you're carrying on, and others. Over the years, Rick, and there are a number of questions. Maybe you can give our viewers a little bigger picture of International Children's Care, ICC. Over the years, how many young people, children and young people, have been helped? How many are being helped right now? I mean, how many settings are you working in, different countries and that kind of thing? And how is God working in a very special way in terms of ministering to these children who are part of a system that not only takes care of them physically, but also nourishes them spiritually? I mean, those are a lot of questions, but answer those things so people get a fuller picture.
Yes. Well, over the years, we estimate that over 4,000 children, young people, little children, have been benefited through the ministry of ICC, and probably a lot more that we don't even know about, you know, the ripple effect and how that happens. But right now, we have about 435 children that are being directly benefited. But we have been working, starting with Guatemala, but then it expanded over the years. My parents used to tell me, man, I could not believe that this would take off and be blessed so much as it is. But now we are directly supervising projects in 12 countries around the world. And other countries are benefited too, that we help. So the concept here is to provide as normal a life as possible for children. I mean, you know, the hurt that they've experienced is never going to go away. And because we're humans, maybe our help isn't perfect, but through God's grace, what we do is we develop these children's villages. And these become a center of activity for kids. There's a church, a school, gardens, you know, a farm. And the children live in individual homes with house parents. And each home has 10, 12 children. I would say that what ICC is attempting to provide for these children is a preparation for this life and the life to come. That is the goal that we have for these kids through education and through all kinds of types of education for them.
We also have Eurydice with us today, and thank you for joining us. Welcome to Revival for Mission, Eurydice.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You come from the Dominican Republic, and your life would have been very different without ICC. Tell us more.
Yes, I'm from Dominican Republic, and I grew up at the Las Palmas Children's Village. You know, ICC was a huge blessing in my life. I don't think I'll be where I am today without ICC and the help they provided for me when I was a child.
How did you, Eurydice, and welcome again, how did you end up in the Las Palmas Village? And when you say Las Palmas Village, I mean, Rick has already told us that things are in a kind of a nice family setting and all of that. And the term village, it sounds good as well. I mean, how did you end up there? And what were your feelings growing up in a setting like that where you felt loved, you felt part of the village, so to speak? Share a little more about that personally.
Yeah, so what was going on in my life first was my mom and my dad never got married. And when I was about 6 years old, I was living with my mom. And so she had a relationship with a different man. And so she had a baby and she couldn't take care of me anymore. So she decided to send me to my dad's family, which I ended up living with my grandma, who was an Adventist. And she took me to church. So that's how I met Jesus. I got baptized. I was 8 years old at the time. But my grandma couldn't, you know, keep taking care of me. So my aunts were taking turns, and I was living with some of them for several months. And then I would switch families. But then the aunt I was living with at the moment, she was having problems with her marriage as well. So she was going through a divorce and she couldn't support her family plus me. And then a sister from church decided to talk to us about ICC because she had been a house mom previously there. And so she told us there might be complications, but there's a possibility he might be received there. So we started praying, the church was praying, and we contacted ICC. We contacted the people in charge at Las Palmas. And then they came to the village where I was living for a short visit. And so they visited with my family. They saw the situation. And so some of the things that were going on that were making the situation kind of impossible for me to join or go to the village was that I was 13 years old. And so I didn't qualify because of my age. Plus, my parents were both alive. I just wasn't living with them. But we kept praying, and they saw my case, and they said it was a special case. And I think this is one of the miracles that I remember from my early childhood that God performed. And he showed me that there's nothing impossible. Because after we talked to ICC, after they saw my situation, they were also praying over there at the Las Palmas village. And we went through the paperwork with the lawyer and all of that, and then December 20th in 2004, I was 13 and I got opened the doors for me to go to the village, to the children's village.
And what happened since?
When I got there, I felt peace. One of the things I was thinking as a child before going was that I was going to miss my family and how hard it was going to be to, you know, just be separated from them. But as soon as I got there, I felt how God was blessing me. And the way the village work is a family setting where I have a mom and a dad and siblings in a house. And, you know, Rick already mentioned we have a school and music school, and we have the farm. And so there's so many things to do over there. And it's just it was just a blessing to be there. I felt really loved. And I had the most important thing for me at the moment was a family, because I really needed that.
And what kind of, Euridice, what kind of schedule, what kind of daily activities were you involved with? You mentioned a farm and things like that. Was the day organized in such a way that you felt fulfillment? You got some excitement out of living because you went to school, you worked, you associated, you played. I mean, I'm kind of filling in the blanks, but I want to know from you, what was the schedule like?
Yes, so what a day looked like there is we would wake up at 5:30 a.m. and the first thing we had was family worship. So we'll all come together to the living room and study the Bible, study the Sabbath school lesson, and have a beautiful family worship moment first thing in the morning. That was I remember waking up to Christian music and just singing hymns and studying the Bible and praying. Then we'll have breakfast and we'll get ready to go to school. We'll have some time to do our chores, because we were in charge of, you know, getting certain things done before going to school as well. And then we'll go to school after breakfast. At noon, we'll come back home and have lunch, take a little break, about 1 hour, 45 minutes, and then we'll have an assigned time to work either in the farm or in the yard. And after that time, we'll come back home and then get ready to go to either music school, if we had music school, or go to the library and do homework and get things done and ready for the next day. Then later we'll go back home and then have evening worship with the family again and have dinner. And then if we have some more homework to do, we'll have a little bit, probably an hour, to get it done before going to bed.
That is a full day. There's no idleness there. I love it. Rick,
yes.
If you're still there, I want to come back to you because I want to talk about the ministry today. What is it like operating in this pandemic? Are you still able to help in the various countries where you are? Tell us more.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's been difficult in many ways. A worldwide pandemic, right? It's affecting all of our children's villages. In ways that we couldn't imagine. But there's, you know, the children's villages operate kind of in a bubble in a way. And so thank the Lord we have had no serious illnesses of the children in our children's villages. And you know, that sponsorship doesn't just, you know, provide something financial. It's also intangible. These kids, they think of their sponsors as, wow, somebody, you know, they lost their family, they lost relatives, but way off in a faraway country, somebody actually cares enough about them to give them funds maybe, or, you know, for to help pay their way in life, help them to get an education, help them to have an actual normal life. And so it's so important that we have people all over that are banding together to help this. It's a ministry with grassroots ministry of people all over the place, all over the world, not just the United States. We have sponsors in other countries as well.
Pastor Wilson, you are a sponsor to a child in ICC, and every now and again you get notes from the child, handwritten notes of them thanking you. What would you say to somebody who's at home who would want to sponsor a child?
I would say get involved with ICC, the International Children's Care. You know, they'll take care of that special little one in a unique way, and you'll get reports. I think our little sponsored fellow is about 12 years old. He sends us little notes, handwritten notes, you know, to us, and it's once in a while we get a picture. It ties you in with people who are in real need. And I would urge you to contact the International Children's Care and find out how you can be involved in helping someone, not only physically and educationally, but spiritually for eternity.
If you want to know how to do this, we'll be back just after the break and we'll tell you exactly how to get the sponsorship forms, how to fill them in, and how to sponsor a child. If you cannot wait, I'll give you the website, revivalformission.tv, and you will find the link there. But just after the break, Rick will tell us more details about how you can help.
Revival is the renewal of the spiritual energies of the soul. It has to do with a new commitment to Jesus every day. It leads us to a deeper experience in prayer. It leads us to the diligent study of God's Word and a life of service and Christian witness.
A study published in the Journal of the American Dietetic Association found that toddlers aged 12 months and older consumed a third of their daily calories from snacking between meals. with the snacks becoming less nutritious as the children got older. Dietary patterns low in fruits and veggies and high in sweets and saturated fats began to develop between the ages of 12 months and 24 months, and this pattern tended to be established by 24 months. That's a fact. But there's hope. Parents can establish the foundation for a healthy diet early in life when eating habits and preferences are being formed. Simple dietary changes, such as offering more nutritious snacks, can help prevent obesity and chronic disease in our children. So switch the gummy bear for blueberries and see them growing healthier and happier.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. Today we are talking about ICC, International Children's Care. And we are here with Eurydice and Rick from ICC. Rick, let's ask you the most important question perhaps that we could. How can somebody sponsor a child and what they can expect once they start sponsoring?
Thanks, Pastor Sam. Sponsoring a child is a unique and wonderful experience, both for the sponsor and for the child. It's actually easy to do. If you go onto our website or you can call us, our website is forhiskids.org. And when you sign up for a sponsorship, it's kind of a very unique thing because you're going to get a child that's assigned to you. You can choose if you want them to be from a certain country or something. And then at least once to maybe twice a year, you will get some kind of a communication from them. Usually they'll send maybe a Christmas card or a Mother's Day card or a little letter, a little drawing, or maybe they write depending on how old they are. And usually we send pictures and progress reports on these on the children too. We try to do that twice a year. It's a bit of a difficult thing to get all these from all the different remote parts of the world, but we do our best. And so lots of people like to put this picture right up on their refrigerator and think about little Maria or little Juancito or whoever it might be and pray for them. And you know, the children, if you have a chance, you're not required to write to them, but if you would like to, they love to get letters. And if you send them a letter, maybe a picture of yourself, your family, your cat, your dog, they love that. I'll go to their room and they'll say, hey, look at right up here in my little closet area. This is my sponsor. Look at this picture. And they sent me a picture of their dog or whatever. You know, they really like that. And so it can be a really warm experience, fun thing for them to do.
And Pastor Sam, in our last communication that we had about our little one that we're sponsoring, I think it said that he was doing very well in school. Now, I can't verify that, but that encourages me because, you know, you're there trying to help the ongoing nurturing of a human being. And what a privilege that is. It's exciting.
Beautiful. Eurydice, you have an experience growing up in a village. How would your life have been different? What difference did it make that somebody sponsored you throughout your upbringing to your life? What difference did it make?
It made a really huge difference receiving help from ICC and from people who were sponsoring me, because I was able to go to the Dominican Adventist University and I got my bachelor's in theology. And so that opened the doors for me to go into ministry. I went and as an assistant pastor after graduating, and I also helped as a chaplain at an Adventist school. I later got married and moved to Medford, Oregon, where I am currently. And I am enrolled on the MDiv program for the Andrews University so I can get my master's. I don't think any of that would have been possible without the help of ICC and the sponsorship program.
What a marvelous testimony that was from Eurydice. And thank you to Eurydice and to Rick for being with us from International Children's Care, ICC. What a powerful impact it has on the lives of so many young people. And Eurydice is a prime example. Praise God for that testimony. And now Eurydice is able to help many other people. What a wonderful God we serve as we help others. as we allow God to work through us, to be the hands and feet of God Himself in human form. You know, in the Bible, it tells us in Matthew chapter 25, and, you know, the Lord is speaking and telling us to help people, because when He was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, when I was naked, when I was sick, when I was in prison, etc. You can read that, Matthew 5, 35 and 36 and 37, Matthew 25. What a powerful opportunity to then help people, especially those who are orphans. And in Scripture, it says in James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What a privilege to be part of helping young people. God bless you, and we'll see you again on Revival for Mission.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Chronic diseases such as heart disease, cancer, stroke, and diabetes are responsible for 7 of 10 deaths among Americans each year and account for 75% of the nation's health spending. Although sometimes related to economic, social, and physical factors, more often it's behaviors such as tobacco use, poor diet, physical inactivity, and alcohol abuse that lead to poor health and contribute to chronic disease. That's a fact. But there's hope. A focus on prevention in our families, churches, schools, and communities will not only improve the health of Americans, but also save a lot of money. A report from Trust for America's Health concluded that investing $10 per person per year in proven community-based programs that promote a healthier lifestyle could save the country more than $16 billion annually within 5 years. So let's live a longer and healthier life and save some cash.
He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:29-31.